You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And if you have the Civic Media app, you can call and text directly into the show. You can also leave a voice note. So if you haven't done it yet, download the Civic Media app. It is absolutely free.
See what you did there.
Yeah, that's it. You fun. Like that when I do that. We are delighted to be joined by Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski is with us. Good morning, Secretary Godlewski. How are you?
Hi, Jane. Hi, Greg. It's good to be with you all this morning.
Great to have you back. I think that Greg and I were talking about this before we started the show. I think the last time we were able to get you on, you had such bad laryngitis. I felt so badly for if I felt like we were torturing you every time we asked you a question. It's like that poor woman, let her go. Yeah. Let her go.
I know. I think this was the first time I had to like stop my interview almost midway because I just couldn't get the words out and sign language wasn't going to really work. Interpretive dancing of sorts wasn't going to really work either. So
it was just, you were such a trooper. Thank you for hanging in with us for as long as you did, but now you're back in full voice.
Yes.
And you and Congresswoman Gwen Moore are going to be in our stomping grounds here in Racine. Tell us about the town hall meeting that you are hosting tonight.
Yes, so Congresswoman Gwen Moore and I are going to be in Racine later today to talk about the big, brutal bill is what I like to talk about, because literally Wisconsinites, I believe, has been sold kind of this false, all these lies about the reality behind this bill is it's giving corporations and the wealthy 1% these massive tax breaks while working Wisconsinites are flipping the bill. And so we've invited Congressman Stile to come and join us. He voted in support of this big, brutal bill because I think Wisconsinites have the right to know about what cuts are coming to Medicaid and food share and renewable energy programs that are significant to the 1st Congressional District.
Well, and I find it interesting that all the Republicans who voted in favor of this are it's so good and it's so wonderful and it does so much for Americans, but we just don't want to see you face to face to talk about it because it's that wonderful.
Right. Well, and Jane, and like for what Americans?
Right.
Like
right.
For maybe Elon Musk
and Jeff Bezos. Yeah.
But
great for them.
Great, Jeff Bezos, but not for, you know, Teresa, the school teacher, or Terry, the nurse, that are critical to our communities here in Wisconsin. And I mean, just look at the math because, you know, as a former state treasurer, Jane and Greg, I'm kind of a numbers dork, but like, you know, I mean, look, like the math is this bill is going to increase the deficit by $3.4 trillion. Yeah. So let's make sure that the apparent party of fiscal responsibility gets that down on paper, because that's pretty fiscally irresponsible, if you ask me. But then how are they trying to like make the numbers work? Well, the number one program that they're cutting is Medicaid at $1 trillion. So the seniors here, the 1.5 million people that get Medicaid here in Wisconsin are going to be impacted. Then, all right, well, what other programs can we maybe cut? So then the number two program that they're cutting is food share. So, you know, the 700,000 Wisconsinites that get food share. Now, let's also talk about 70% of those families have kids.
Yep.
So, you know, those fraudulent kids that are stealing our tax dollars. Oh, God. So they're going to be impacted. And then you think about the renewable energy programs. Our state gets $2.5 billion. Dollars in investment. Thousands of union jobs are a result of these renewable projects. And they're like, you know what? We're going to put more requirements and make it harder. And you know what? Best of luck getting a job. So that's what's really at stake with these cuts from this bill.
And forgive me, you referred to yourself as a quote math dork. Was that what's was that the numbers dork?
The numbers nerd, numbers I think, nerd. Maybe. Craig,
you know, I am not. I am, and that's what I find very interesting about this whole thing is that I am not good at math, but I am smart enough to know when I hear $3.4 trillion increase in a deficit. To know that's bad. And one of the things we've been talking about a lot, you know, there's the Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP cuts. Look at you, Derek Van Orden, about this.
Yeah.
But also talking about those small programs we just talked about yesterday, which was the program that was teaching people how to, in Wisconsin.
About
nutrition that's going to be cut. The program for farmers that pays them to grow food to give to food pantries being cut. These are all – it always seems like, as you said, they're – it's great for Jeff Bezos. I mean, let's face it. He just paid $50 million for a wedding.
He's struggling.
But
right. Poor guy.
No.
Yeah,
it just seems like everything that needs to be cut is always a social program, is always a program that helps. Is someone for people who don't have the voice or the pockets to afford their own congressperson
or
senator. Exactly. It just seems like we constantly take it on the chin, but yet they get to sell it as this is going to be amazing for America.
Right, right. Well, and I think when you look at it too, there's two kind of significant groups that are paying for it. One is the state, right? Because basically what this bill does is it says, okay, so you know how we were helping to cover the Medicaid costs that we know seniors and children, 1 in 6 kids in Wisconsin rely on Badger Care. 20% of at least like hospitals rely on Medicare. They are oftentimes the single largest employer in rural communities are hospitals that are Medicaid funded. So we know that the state's going to have to at least carry $1 billion from what we're going to lose. If we look at food share, we are going to have to pick up the bill for over $314 million annually. And we just went through the budget process. It's not like there's, you know, quarters or nickels that we can find under state buildings to kind of cobble together this money. And so, like, you know, we are now put in this position where how are we going to be able to cover these costs? Because the feds aren't going to be providing this fund that, oh, by the way, we've been paying into. But they are looking at the states and, you know, our tools in our toolbox are like taxes are making more cuts. And so it's just a really, it's going to be devastating to communities across the state.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski talking about a town hall that she will be holding along with Representative Gwen Moore tonight in Racine. And I just want to get the – actually here, it is going to be at the Gateway Technical College, the Great Lakes Room, room R116, tonight at 6 p.m. And they'll be talking about the big, brutal bill, the big bill for billionaires, whatever you want to call it, but it's not beautiful. And I noticed – I noticed on the graphic, it does say, as you mentioned, that Congressman Stile was invited. And I've seen other town halls where they make mention, your congressman has been asked to be here. I wouldn't hold your hopes up.
We will include, by the way, those details in our show notes. So if you live in the Racine area and you would like to attend, you're able to track it down. So go to civicmedia.us right after the show, and Greg will include those details in our show notes. As you said, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski is our guest talking about that town hall they're going to have tonight. The other thing, Secretary Godlewski, that just jumps out at me is – and granted, I'm not an elected official, and I'm sure that there are many, many, many things they have to read. But when it comes to something like the budget bill, you would think it would be incumbent on our lawmakers to actually know all the stuff that's in it. Like, I don't know, $45 million for the Garden of Heroes. We can afford that. We got $45 million lying around in the federal government for that, but we can't help our kids.
Well, I think that's what's been so fascinating is it seems like when you are able to get these Republican members of Congress who voted for this bill and you ask them and you look them in the eye and say, okay, I'm apparently now going to be cut or my food share is going to be cut or my health care is going to be cut. And if I'm not healthy, I can't work. And so, and they're like, oh, wait, I didn't vote for that. And you're like, no,
you did.
You did vote for it. And I think the irony is all of this is, I mean, not to take us back, but, you know, Ron Johnson, when he decided to run for re-election a few years ago, said that the reason why is he didn't want to mortgage our kids' future.
Right.
And because the deficit was his number one issue for our kids and for our future. And here's this guy just mortgaging $3.54 trillion to the next generation. And oh, by the way, he's kicking them off their health care and not making sure there's food on the table or taking away their job or their student loans. But, you know, like who's really paying attention?
But he got his reassurances, Secretary, that down the road, they're going to talk about it. So that's all he needed. That's all Senator Rojo needed was, and life is good, and he's been assured that we're going to address this deficit now that's going to hang around our necks for generations. But yeah, it's all fine.
Yeah.
It's all fine.
Right.
We got about 3 minutes left with you, Secretary. I would be remiss if I did not ask you about a report in the Associated Press on your potential future plans. Anything you would like to share, perhaps?
I mean, I feel like there's all of this excitement happening right now in Wisconsin when we heard about Governor Evers retiring after two very successful terms here in the state of Wisconsin. And I will say, look, like, I have been so honored to serve 6 million people here in Wisconsin. And I think what I'm just really doing now is trying to think through what that looks like for me. So I will share with you all very, very soon. But I think as like, you know, I was playing Fleetwood Mac last night, you know, that song, Go Your Own Way. I think if there's one thing people know about me in Wisconsin is I always go my own way, whether it's with the state treasurer or the secretary of state. So we will figure this out and share it all with you very soon.
Appreciate that.
Whenever you want to make an announcement, you can come back to Matt and Air on Air. We will prepare drum roll and we'll get everything ready. We'll have a little, you know,
fireworks.
Exactly. Whatever you need, if you want to make the announcement right here on Matinaire on Air.
We're just throwing that option out there for you.
I love it.
As we said before, the event details will be in the show notes tonight. And I want to just say thank you for holding this town hall. I think one of the most important things we've seen in recent times are, as Jane said, elected officials who think that this isn't a necessary thing anymore because they don't want to be held accountable to. So to see our elected officials out there talking to people, taking in all the commentary, it's important. So thank you very much.
Well, and we hope, and we're so glad you guys are sharing the location and when, and I hope to see some of your listeners there later tonight. So,
Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski has been our guest. Thank you so very, very much, Secretary. Really, really appreciate your time.
Of course. Thanks for having me, and I hope to see you guys again soon.
Absolutely. Coming up next, it is a wonderful time. You need a pet. You didn't even know that, but you do.
I do?
You do. Oh, and we'll have all the details coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matinaire on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinaire on Air. Jane Matinaire, Greg Bach. Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream.
Hi, live stream.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our thanks again to Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski for joining us.
I'm going to go back. I'm pretty sure she called herself a math or
a numbers
dork.
Nerd. Something like that.
I love it. Sarah Godlewski, if you're still listening, you're wonderful and just fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Town Hall, Sarah Godlewski will be having tonight along with Congresswoman Gwen Moore.
Yes.
Here in Racine. Starts at 6 o'clock. We will have all the details for that if you would like to attend. In our show notes, you can find those at civicmedia.us. Click on shows, go to Matinaire on Air, and that will have an archive of at least 100 prior shows.
Yeah.
So check it out right there. You need a pet.
I do.
Yes.
Don't.
And Calvin and everyone listening right now, you know you do. You need a pet. This is from WPR. Wisconsin Animal Shelters experiencing an unprecedented number of pet surrenders. Shelter operators say finances, the high cost of vet care are the leading reasons for surrendered pets, which is heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah.
Just heartbreaking. We've talked numerous times to the Wisconsin Humane Society, HAWS here in Waukesha County, Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County. We've talked to MADC, which is the Milwaukee Area Animal Domestic Control Commission.
Yeah.
They've been having overcrowding problems for months, months and months and months.
Yes.
So if you are considering adopting, please do so. If you're considering fostering, that's a really important element that I think a lot of folks might not be aware of. And I think it's become a much bigger part of animal shelters. If you can get a dog out of a shelter for a weekend,
yeah,
that can really help their well-being to get away from all the chaos and the barking and the noise and the, you know, all of it.
Yeah, there's, we went to, so Bridget and I, every Saturday, we go to a local bar to have our weekly Bloody Mary. And then afterwards, we go to the Kenosha's Farmers Market, which is right next to the municipal building. And there is a group that does, they're called Mastro Mutts. And they do
rescues.
And we met a wonderful young woman named Danya, who is a foster. And her whole job, like her whole work with them, it's not a job, she does it for free, but it's, you know, it's her life, is taking these pets from them, giving them a home, and then helping to find them a permanent, a forever home. And it is something I've thought about. Unfortunately, I don't feel like we have the time to do
that. Well, and that's important.
But also, I think I would adopt every single dog.
Well,
we
there's always that danger.
There's that thing of you can foster. I know for a fact that MADC has programs where you can take them home for the weekend to see if they're a good fit.
Exactly.
But these good little pets need homes, and
these agencies are hurting.
They're bursting at the seams.
They are. The Washington County Humane Society experiencing a 16% increase in pet surrenders so far this year. The Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County saw a 13% increase in dogs, a 20% increase in cats over the period of about a year. So they're really hurting. If you can't bring an animal into your home, if you cannot foster, check out their wish lists.
Yes.
Because you can help out that way as well. They're always looking for dog food and blankets and certain toys and things like that. So most of our animal shelters will, again, either have wish lists on Amazon or, but we'll include a whole bunch of links to different shelters in our area if you are thinking about it. You can also always volunteer.
You can volunteer. And Cassandra, Cassandra, you've been on fire today, and I'm loving it. I'm here for the Cassandra Fire Show. She says, consider donating to cover the adoption fees, too. And that's something that I know that MADC has done specials, where they greatly reduce adoption fees.
Sometimes they waive them completely.
And these dogs come to you, or I'm going to say dogs because that's what we look at, but these pets come to you, they usually come chipped, they come vaccinated, they come spayed or neutered.
Those are expenses that
I learned the hard way about with our dog. And I'm not saying that I don't love having her, she is the light of my life, but you know, there are benefits to getting a dog from a rescue and getting them from Humane Society. And if you're ever up in Hayward, by the way, go to Go to the Humane Society of Hayward's thrift shop.
Yep.
It is gigantic. It is lovely.
And so clean.
So clean.
So clean.
That was Jane's big takeaway. It was so
clean. Well, but I've done a lot of thrifting over the years. I started in college.
Yeah.
And sometimes you go into those stores and there is a very distinctive odor. Now, the one in Hayward, run by, I think it's the Northwoods Humane Society.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's pristine.
In fact, if you follow me on the Twitters or the Facebooks or the social medias, I will take pictures and post what I actually bought at the Northwoods Humane Society.
Got some treasures.
I got some treasures.
Picked up some treasures.
So yeah, get out there and if you can't adopt, foster. If you can't foster, at least
consider making a donation or potentially volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
This, unfortunately, I think is going to continue to be a problem. We are having more and more hedge funds buy up veterinary.
Is that why that's happening?
That's part of the reason why. why vet services are becoming so much more expensive is because venture capitalists are looking for a way to make more money. So again, we will include this all in the show notes. It's one of our big things here on Matt and Air on Air. We do love our pets.
I'm going to become a billionaire, Jane. I'm going to buy a veterinarian place, and I'm just going to say it's free for
it's
everyone.
It's free for everybody.
I'll take it on the chin.
News is coming up next, and we will return and lighten it up with Audio Sorbet. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning, and welcome. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach. Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can also call and text directly to our show from the Civic Media app. And a newer feature is the voice note. So you can record a little note to us and text that in, and we will play it back and play it back on the air if it is contextual and clean.
And FCC compliant.
That, yes.
And not mean.
And preferably not.
Some people are just mean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those crazy kids. Just a reminder, Todd Alba has got a special show coming up today. He is going to be broadcasting his show from 2 to 4 from Six Springs Farm in southeastern Wisconsin. The show is called Catching Up with Joe Thomas. Six. Very big show. Todd welcomes guest co-host Brady Ewing, former Badger football and NFL player. Todd and Brady are going to talk to Joe Thomas, Badger football and NFL Cleveland Browns Hall of Famer, about football, family, and his new passion. He is a beef farmer.
He is a beef farmer. And I'm just interested because it's when you say southeastern Wisconsin, that's where I live. And I'm just interested
in southwestern Wisconsin.
Never mind.
Six Springs Farm in southwestern Wisconsin.
Never mind. I'm not going there. I thought maybe I'd pop by for a visit and say hello, give me some beef, but no.
It's that really good, that Wagyu beef?
Wagyu. I'm sure someone on the text line, and I know
we'll
exactly who it's going to be, will text us immediately and be pushing up their glasses going, well, actually, it's pronounced. I will say, though, there is something to be said about getting your groceries, period, from local. But there is something about getting when you get your meat local.
From a local producer.
Yeah, we go to a place in Kenosha County that we love. That again, to the farmer's market that I mentioned earlier in the show. It's just nice because one, you're getting these really prime cuts, and you're also supporting local, and you feel like the process of attaining it is a big thing.
Yes,
but when you know someone is farming and doing what they love, it just makes all the difference.
Yep, absolutely. So join Todd today. Going to be a great show. 2 to 4 p.m., his special conversation with Joe Thomas coming up today across the Civic Media Network, Radio Network. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up, get away from the news, take a breath, hopefully have a couple of laughs.
Calvin corrected us. It's Wagyu.
Wagyu.
That was not the person I expected.
Thank you, Calvin.
Thank you, Calvin.
Appreciate that.
You fancy meat lover.
Today for Audio Sorbet, let's talk about the most overrated tourist spots. We've all gotten sucked into it. You got to go here.
Yeah.
You can't go to this state without going to blank.
Mm-hmm.
And you go and you're like, this is why I drove 400 miles. This.
Just say it, Jane. Tell the audience what you've been alluding to the entire show.
Wall drug.
What?
Wall drug.
Oh, okay. See, we got Luke, the very handsome, capable, wonderful producer here, and you know, Lord above all. He said he loves the Corn Palace. I believe that's also in South Dakota.
It is.
I think that was what he might have thought you. I don't know.
The Corn Palace is actually kind of cool.
Corn Palace is cool. I thought. And now I'm just wondering, I'm just going to look this up while you're talking, but I was not expecting Wall Drug, but I've seen the bumper stickers for years.
If you're traveling across South Dakota, that's all there are signs for Wall Drug. Visit Wall Drug. You must go to Wall Drug, Wall Drug, Wall Drug. And this was decades ago that I did this. But again, you see this crossing all of South Dakota. It's like, well, fine, we're going now because we've been battered with these signs. And it's a big shopping center.
Yeah.
Essentially.
It's a mini mall. Yeah. Big man.
That's about it.
All right. I'm just going to admit this right now. Because
You like Waldrug?
No, I've never even been to Waldrug. I see it. People are like, where the heck is Waldrug? I'm like, I don't care. I thought you were talking about Yellowstone, and I thought that was in South Dakota.
No, Yellowstone's great.
Yellowstone's not even in South Dakota. It's in Wyoming, Montana.
It's in Wyoming, yeah.
And parts of Idaho, apparently. So, yeah, I'm not very smart. So, you don't like Waldrug. That's cool. That's fine. And honestly,
I thought it was a disappointment after all of the buildup and all of the signs and mm-hmm. all of the hype. I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't what I found.
Yeah, I can understand why Waldrug would be just not something that would be as amazing as I feel like to go to Waldrug is sort of like going to that truck stop on Highway 80 in Iowa that it's more about the we're going to that thing.
I'm going to this place.
It's not like a Yellowstone or a Mount Rushmore or something that it has a beauty and breadth to it where you're like, I was taken, like the Grand Canyon. I did pull up some bad reviews of the Grand Canyon just because. But
too windy.
Well, no, there's nothing here. It's like California's drought that I'm dreading of. Easy
here.
Place to commit murder. Just push the dude over the cliff. That's one Yelp review. But yeah, I can totally understand why Waldrug would not do it for you. And I don't keep saying Waldrug to be mean. It's just that it's what it is. But yeah, I totally understand.
Thank you.
I'm on board.
Thank you. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. The most overrated tourist destination that you got sucked into. 855-75-CIVIC. Troy from Mount Horeb has been waiting on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my God. American Pickers in Iowa.
What?
You mean
that TV show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a really small building. They've got a couple of things that they quote unquote picked. The rest of it is their merch.
Oh.
So they have a yes. Their shop is in Iowa?
Yeah. Yeah, I forget what town. But yeah, there were like two things in there that they had picked. The rest of it was all their merch.
Oh, buy American Pickers t-shirts. Like oh jeez.
Yes.
That's
yes.
How far of a time? What was your time investment in getting to that place, Troy?
Actually, it wasn't too much because we were coming back from somewhere else and we drove near it anyways. So we're like, oh, well, let's go there.
May as well.
Type thing. So yeah, may as well. So it wasn't too disappointing like we had spent hours to get there.
Right.
It was just disappointing when we got there.
Oh, that's really funny. Thank you so much, Troy. Appreciate it. Avoid the Pickers Palace. American Pickers, unless you're looking for their merch.
The reason why we came up with this discussion point was because we came across an article of the most overrated. Actually, it is famous tourist spots in America that are best avoided. And there are some in there that make sense. Beale Street in Memphis. If you're not a fan of bar life, and it that same can be said about Broadway in Nashville, you know.
Bourbon Street in New Orleans.
Exactly. I will say, though, we went to Beale Street on a Sunday morning/afternoon, and that was wonderful. Less people, still great music, great food. So if you want to see it, maybe check it out when it's not, you know.
So nutso.
So crazy pants. But there is one on here that I solely disagree with, and I will be writing a letter to their editor.
Oh, my.
Number 21, Epcot isn't worth the wait. You shut up. Epcot's amazing, and it's the greatest theme park on earth. I will fight anyone who disagrees with me. So, but yeah. I'm trying to think if I've ever been to one where I just sort of shoulder shrugged and went, well, I've been there.
That was it.
Cassandra on the live stream back again says the Dells. I grew up there, so I'm allowed to say that. And PJ says, I agree. The Wisconsin Dells are a tourist trap and overrated.
We are talking about the most overrated tourist destinations. You kind of got sucked in. We're going to spend 3.5 hours getting to X. And you get there and it's like, this is it. This is the thing. 855-752-4842. Most overrated tourist destinations. Cassandra also said, my kids loved Epcot.
I love Epcot. I don't have time, Jane, to go into why I love Epcot so much. I'll just tell you this. If you're standing on the property of Epcot with me, you're going to see a child like Greg come out. I am like a little boy in that place. I love that place so much. There's something about it. I know it's Disney. It's a business, whatever. But there's something about Epcot, this notion that back in the day, Walt Disney said, you know what? Let's take the fun of Disney World, but let's also take science and engineering and learning and try to put it together. Now, granted, they also gave us their version of what the future would look like in the 60s and
70s. Got a ways to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit.
But it's still, for me, great.
Something to shoot for. 855-752-4842, the most overrated tourist destinations. Mine was Waldrug in South Dakota. Liz from Saukville texting in, listening on WAUK, the House on the Rock. We call it the House of Junk.
I heard someone once refer to it as, this is what happens with a man with unlimited resources and OCD comes up with. The House on the Rock is kind of, it's very overwhelming.
It is. There's so much.
Yeah.
There is a lot to absorb. Yep. When you go to the House on the Rock. Most overrated tourist destinations, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. What else was on? Oh, we have another text coming in. Maureen from Nina, listening on WISS in Oshkosh. I immediately thought of Waldrug. Also, it was super tiny in the 60s. And you're right, Jane. The signs are all you see for 500 miles. That's the only thing you see crossing South Dakota.
Yeah. There are just some things that are like beautiful. I think that, you know, a place like, for me, a place that was, I wanted to just visit and see what happened was Joshua Park. And Joshua Park is
In California
is a stunning place to go to. It is absolutely. But there's a place called Seattle's Gum Wall at Market Theater.
And that's overrated?
That's considered overrated.
Shocking.
I mean, that is very, there is a picture of on the website, and I'll include this story in the show notes, but there's literally a wall of gum and someone posted a note on there that just says, this is disgusting. But I mean, a lot of these places too, kind of like with Wisconsin Dells are, it's a lot of shopping. It's a lot of buy our t-shirts.
It's a lot of tchotchkes.
Yes.
Lots of tchotchkes.
Exactly.
Casper in Madison, listening on WAUK Vegas. Thank you, Casper. I've gone 3 times, I will never go back to
until
Vegas.
That fourth time.
No, never again.
I as someone who doesn't party and doesn't gamble, I feel like you can make Vegas. Well, no, I
there's lots of shows.
I think you
there's
can make Vegas a really fun time if you seek out entertainment. There's great shows. There are comedy, musicals, all that stuff. You definitely can have a good time in Vegas if you're going with. If anyone in your party likes to gamble, don't go. Period.
Because that's where they
don't.
Will be.
Yeah.
Also, one other tip about Vegas, go to Hoover Dam.
Yes.
It's really very cool. And there is a bust of Hoover, and his nose is shiny because everyone rubs his nose when they go visit it. So
here's one before we get out of here. And it's not because of my jealousy of Minnesota, but the Mall of America.
Oh, yeah.
The Mall of America, I'm sorry. But
it's a big store.
Yeah, I was like, oh, there we go. It's,
but that was a huge, that's still a destination for folks.
I think there's 4 Starbuckses. You know what made the list? What? The Mars Cheese Castle.
No.
And they spelled Kenosha wrong. They spelled it Kenosha.
Well, that's a whole, now you're going to have to write another letter, obviously. Letters are going out.
I'm so hurt.
Letters are going out from the office. Most overrated tourist destinations. Thanks, everybody. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show with this. Shouldn't be a thing. Today, it's the Bite Me edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text 855 752 800-242-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got a jam-packed show coming up for you tomorrow. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be joining us in the first hour around 9:35.
I've missed her.
Lots of things to talk about with Dr. Lierley. Dan Schaefer, who normally joins us on Fridays, he's Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. He has a conflict on Friday, so he's going to be joining us tomorrow in studio in hour number two. So join us for that. Jim Santel coming up on Thursday. We have a lot of things to catch up with him.
Yes.
Many, many, many things, including some more rumors about how Ghislaine Maxwell might get off and get out of prison. So we will talk about that with Jim Santel coming up on Thursday. Right now, though, it is approaching 10:54, Calvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. My husband sent me this yesterday.
Yeah.
This is from The Telegraph, Saman Lateef with the byline. The headline reads, Toddler Bites Cobra to Death.
Jane, I think you read that wrong. It's a tragic story, right?
No, but no.
Snake.
No,
no.
No? No. Toddler bites cobra to death. Two-year-old Govinda Kumar was playing at his home in the eastern Indian state of Bihar when he saw a three-foot-long cobra, which jumped at the two-year-old,
yeah,
coiled itself around his hands. Instead of screaming, the little boy put the snake's head in his mouth and bit down.
Well, I just want to say something really quick here. As a fan of like comic book movies and whatnot, I would just like to say that Govinda Kumar, you are now my leader. I will follow you wherever you go, for I know no matter what happens, I am safe with you at my side.
Right. The little boy quickly lost consciousness after he was ingested. He got bit. Obviously, yeah. The cobra bit him.
Yeah.
And injected some venom, but he was treated in the hospital. He's out. He's fine.
And the venom has made him stronger.
The snake died on the spot.
Hey, man, listen here, snake. Don't get into a fight if you don't know what's up for grabs here.
You gave it a good shot.
You gave it a good shot. Calvin, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I just wanted to issue a small correction. He actually did not get bit. That's the impressive thing. He just got the venom in his mouth from biting the snake's head.
Oh, wow.
If he would have gotten bitten, he very likely would have died.
Would have died.
But because he just basically drank some of the venom, he was pretty much fine.
I now, in my head, I just see a child with far too many muscles grabbing
he's
a
not
snake
that big
just heart and then being like, what about the venom?
Puh! Yeah, he looks next. Like your average two-year-old.
I want some apples.
His grandmother says, I was moving firewood near the house. The cobra came out. He perhaps saw the snake moving, caught hold of it. We rushed towards him and saw he had taken the cobra's head in his mouth. We then separated the cobra from his mouth and his hands. The cobra died on the spot. Rushed the little boy to the hospital. He was given anti-venom, and he is just fine.
He's an adorable little boy, too.
We were surprised. Doctors say we were surprised and cross-checked with his parents multiple times to ensure he hadn't been bitten by the snake, to rule out the venom hadn't gotten into his bloodstream. They told us he bit the cobra.
I just imagine Mrs. Devi like, Govinda, and he's like, no, me, ma. I've got this.
I got this. He's two. There are over 300 species of snakes in India, including 16 of which are highly venomous. Apparently, this does happen relatively frequently, but I think this is the first that a toddler bites cobra to death.
Don't you just feel like now, Jane, you've failed in your life? Like, this boy at two has done something so heroic.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, I went to college. Great. And a political science degree, nonetheless. Ugh. Yeah, I haven't bitten the heads off of anything.
Now we got something to shoot for.
Exactly.
You got to have goals.
Everybody. I now have a goal.
You got to have goals.
Find me a snake.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and for watching on the stream. It really does mean the world. Thank you so much. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Todd Alba on location from 2 to 4. Yeah. Maggie Dunn, 4 to 6. And Pete Schwabe, 6 to 8 p.m. So keep it right here. We are the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.